time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
And here we go. Top of the morning to you. We are live in Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard, along with Matt Eumanns today. Two of us in studio. Polly's still a little too high maintenance for us to say hello. Join us in studio today at the South Point. Loaded show today. We have David Purdom in an hour. His unbelievable write-up on the Russian table tennis situation that we've had going on now for a good month. And we have Nick Bogdanovich, William Hill, at the back end of the show today. Fellas, it's going to be back here in Las Vegas. A little eerie, I tell you that, coming into as, you know, Las Vegas is going to reopen now this week. South Point, like zero cars parked in the parking lot. And this is, I did the math on this. This is my first time in the studio since probably like March 20th. Hell, this is the third time I've had jeans on in the same amount of time.
Wow.
That's it.
Hey, welcome back, man. Good to see you back in the studio.
Good to see you as well. Yeah. Wild. And now I saw Jimmy Vaccaro tweet this out over the weekend, the separation of the chairs here at the South Point Sportsbook, to see that in person and what this is going to be like now, how odd that's going to be up close and personal. But we're in for it now this weekend, folks, right? Anyway, we're still going to reopen on the 4th. With the riots and everything?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about the sports books, though. I mean, they'll be open, but what are you going to be watching during the day? Yeah. What's going to be on at night? There'll be no one in the sports books, even though that they're open. So there's nothing on, though. I guess Bundesliga. Wait, Frankfurt plays Wednesday, 11 straight overs. So we can watch that. We can watch that Wednesday morning. But other than that, there's not a heck of a lot going on. You golf this weekend?
Yeah, down in Phoenix. Yeah, beautiful. With Lou Finocchiaro, Brady Cannon, and Randy McKay.
Oh, Ishmael.
Yeah, that's right. And I will say, Paul, I'm not going to put this in your win-lose segment, but if you bet Randy McKay to complete more than 4.5 holes on the prop, you lost.
Oh, no. Man, that's humans. Beautiful. That looks fantastic.
That was God. It was in the neighborhood of 110 degrees. We were in Scottsdale. It was hot. After the 4th hole, Randy McKay said, "Do I look red? I don't feel so well." I said, "No, you look fine to me." He said, "I have to quit. Take me back to the clubhouse and drop me off." That's it. He bailed out, tapped out after 4 holes. He was done. Yeah, well, he's from North Dakota. He can't handle the heat.
Mm-hmm. Look at those ribs that Lou made.
That's winsome right there. Lou Finocchiaro, look at those racks of ribs. That was before the UFC. We watched at his house on Saturday night. And great job. Great job by Lou on the grill, by the way.
That's six racks of ribs for, like, what, 4 people?
Yeah, I think Randy ate 2 racks. And,
garbage disposal.
I had one, and then Lou and Brady picked over the leftovers.
All right. Yeah. As for the UFC card on Saturday night, favorites went 8-3. And what were you guys thinking, by the way, after the first – couple, it was the first 4 overall, but they all, you know, the shorter octagon, it was reduced down to 25 feet from 30 feet. Pauly, I know this was a big talking point for all of our guests last week that we had, but the first 4 go under, and we're like, oh, this is going to be a big theme of the night, obviously. It already was. It kind of flipped a little bit later on, but then the favorites, like I said, 8 of them cashed, 3 of them where the dogs won, and I know that we had a couple of guests on last week. One was Jordan Sherwood, and the other one was Lou, where it was, and the name's difficult. Is it Shukani?
Shukugian?
Yeah. Utter domination, and how that fight actually went over was amazing to me.
Yeah, $14,000 bet at her on William Hill earlier in the week. That was easy. You're right. That should have looked like she was going to end that in the first round. So, right. So you saw what happened in the first 4 fights. And then the markets were going crazy where everyone was saying, okay, well, all these fights are going to stay under. And then you saw big activity all over with the totals. The Shevchenko fight, the over was as high as minus 550. Mm-hmm. The under was bet from 420 down to 315 at circa. The Rodriguez-Green fight, which lost, was bet under plus 160 down to 130. The Carlisle fight was bet under from 145 down to 190. Don't forget, the first couple fights on the card, the Gutierrez fight, the over was minus 320, and they killed Kenny. That fight was over minus 280. So ridiculous juice, and they both end early. So you're right that you were cleaning up if you had under in the first 4 fights.
Yeah, first 4 all went that way. Like I said, it flipped a little bit after that, but that was fun to watch right out of the gates like that. And welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, and Matt Eumanns. So that was kind of the theme of the night before it changed a little bit. And then you know, some of the other, I thought the Elliott Royval fight was awesome. It was relentless. It was nonstop. And that was one of the other dogs that came in. And it was just like, at some point, and I get it, these two guys, this is going to sound like a massive criticism, but I don't mean it that way. It looked like two drunk guys trying to beat the hell out of each other for like eight minutes after, you know, bar close at 2:30 in the Midwest. That's what they were like rolling around the whole time.
That's part of the appeal of UFC. Some of these fights are brutal, and those guys went at it, man.
Yep.
And that was entertaining, no doubt about it. Unlike sometimes when you watch boxing and it feels like a pillow fight. You know, the UFC gives you the exact opposite, and that's one reason I like it so much. Obviously, you have some of the same problems with scoring and refereeing, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I thought, I bet Chookagian and Ivanov. Those were the two bets I made, so I split those two. Might have been a tough beat on the Ivanov play. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I felt like the clown of the weekend, at least in the sports world, was Tyron Woodley. Because it looked to me like he was still focused on his failed rap career, and he didn't want to fight anymore. That was a dismal, pathetic performance by a guy who looked like his best days are way in the past now.
Yep. Open 145, closed as high as 180.
Yep.
And it was wild with an in-play betting scenario because Burns was only minus 145 after the first round.
Yep.
And I wanted to verify. I go, was that it? Because I don't know what the – you're right, Matt, with the judges. But I wanted to make sure that was a 10-8 round. And then I saw Okamoto and Kevin Ioli from Yahoo said, okay, that's 10-8 on my scorecard. And then once he won the second round, I had to get involved, and I laid $3. Mm-hmm. He wasn't losing that fight because you're right. Woodley couldn't touch him, and Woodley, the right hand wasn't phasing Burns. Total domination. Yep, disgraceful performance out of Woodley. And Mitch, you saw the tweet. That is another dog who wins a main event.
Isn't that something?
It is.
So this is from, and Matt, you had this as well, David Bierman, ESPN. Gilbert Burns, plus 140, is the fifth straight underdog to win the UFC main event. All since the UFC resumed without fans at events. That ties the longest stretch in the UFC in the last decade. And that was, so Woodley, again, the talking point here was he basically gave up the sport or he wanted to get into his rap career. That was before the Usman fight, and he was dominated in that fight. Then he didn't fight since March of last year, so like 15 months removed. And it looked, Matt, you were spot on. It looked like he still cared about the rap career and not fighting in the UFC again. And as they pointed on the broadcast, this is a guy that fought, was it in five or six consecutive fights where like the belt was on the line.
Sure.
And now he's so far removed. I mean, I think we can safely say today that he's never going to get a shot at another title again. And I would tell you this.
I don't want to watch the guy fight again.
What's the point of him ever even getting into the octagon?
You know, he was a great fighter for a while. But in the fight game, when you lose it, you can lose it quickly. And I think Woodley has lost it quickly. And like Paul said, nothing Woodley threw was even phasing Burns. And it's what kind of sucks about being in Arizona when we were watching this fight. I was sitting in the room with Randy McKay, Lou Finocchiaro, and Brady Cannon. And the fighters were in the cage. A lot of times, it's almost like watching horses in a paddock. You like to watch the fighters enter the cage. You see them, you know, in there right before the fight, and you think, God, I like this guy. This is the side I would bet. And I said right before the fight, I like Burns in this fight. I like the way Burns looks here, but I couldn't get a bet down at that point. We were in Arizona, and it was a little bit too late right before the fight. But then after the first round, like Paul said, I felt – really confident in Burns. And after the second round, he said, there's no way Burns is going to lose this fight. Yeah,
that's right. That $3 turned out to be a gift because with the first round is a 10-8. Woodley wasn't going to win three rounds in a row.
No.
And at that point, he had to stop him. And that wasn't happening either. But that was the other thing, too. I thought the announcers did a good job. Woodley kept backing up into the cage.
Yeah.
His back was against the cage for most of the fight. He made it easy for Burns. Total domination. Well,
he wasn't trying to win the fight. He was afraid at that point. He was afraid, and he just wanted to go the distance and survive. He wasn't trying to win the fight.
Yeah, agreed. That's fair. Yep. That's fair.
The only shot that he had was that right hand, and that wasn't coming anytime soon. And Paul Ball, by the way, late first round. We're talking way late first round. That was $1.15. Burns was $1.15 before they actually got to the corners.
I know. Yeah, I know. After the first, especially after the second round, it's like, forget this. That's all she wrote. So he took a ton of money, and that 40-cent move, almost 40-cent move, turned out to be lose some. Matt, we said Dern inside the distance. How about it, Circa? Dern was as high as -130 to win by submission. Yeah. And it took 2.5 minutes, and she finished the job. I mean, she is something, and she went off a $5 favorite at William Hill. And
Paul, you know what was interesting about that, Paul, was Dern was actually getting dominated in that fight by Cyphers. And I thought that, Cyphers' inexperience there, she kind of played right into Dern's hands and got submitted. But that fight flipped in an instant like that, and Dern tapped her out and, turned the tables immediately. And up to that point, though, I felt like Dern was kind of getting her butt beat.
We discussed that Friday where $1.30 to win by submission.
Yeah.
And that cashes. Hill wins by TKO in the first round. And he tweeted there was a $13,000 bet at William Hill on Hill. And he commented on the tweet about easy money. Yeah. Never in doubt after he saw the tweet that someone put $13,000 on him and he beat Abreu. On the prelims. There it is. Safest investment you can make. There you go.
Did he tweet that before the fight?
No, I think that was after the fight.
I hope so. Yeah, okay. And how about the first fight on the card? Gutierrez. I think they said on the broadcast it was the 10th time in UFC history a fight was stopped because of leg kicks. Mm-hmm. Did you see Morales' leg?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, what a hatchet job. Gutierrez just went to work. It's like the old wrestling, right? Just work the leg and go after that leg, the figure four leg lock, whatever it is. I mean, that way he just kept attacking that leg, and it looked like, that was tough to look at. And finally, it's like the guy can't even stand anymore. And they had to step in round two, and that was all she wrote. Mm-hmm. So that was a good start. But I'll tell you, this has been very enjoyable. And now he's going to do back-to-back-to-back-to-back cards. We have Fight Island in July. We got the UFC 250 on Saturday. I had a good time watching that for 5-6 hours, even though the main event turned out to be garbage.
Well, I mean, again, we had at least, 2, 3, 4 fights that night that were really, really good.
Yeah, that Carlisle kid's a lunatic, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The redhead, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you thought the round was over with. Goes back, and then all of a sudden, whoa, where'd that come from? No, the bell never rang.
That's one of the things. Yeah. A lot of times you look at the UFC card on paper before, and you say, this card's not that great. But then you get into it and start watching, and some of the fights mm-hmm. turn out to be phenomenal, and you really get wrapped up into it. I thought the Ivanov fight was probably the bad beat of the night. Did you bet Ivanov? I saw you tweet about it.
I had Ivanov, yeah.
I had that too, and it was -110 against Augusto Sakai. And actually, I thought Sakai was the better fighter for the majority of the three rounds, but it was very close, very, very close. And Sakai grabbed the cage and should have been assessed a foul. I think Jason Herzog was the referee, which he's not a very good ref. There was no point taken away for the grabbing of the cage, and that basically flipped the result because I think Ivanov would have won a decision.
He would have.
If you take the point away. In fact, one judge gave it to him 30-27, and the other two judges gave it to Sakai, and if Herzog takes the point away like he should have, you have Ivanov winning that bet. Unfortunately, we got stuck with a loser on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by the way, so here would be my deal with that, right? And I actually thought Sakai probably won the fight.
I thought he was a better fighter majority of the time. Better.
How would you score that Ivanov 30-27? That was beyond me.
Oh, terrible.
So you're telling me that now this is like what, the third card, fourth card? I'm losing track now without fans. Is it the third one? And so you can hear everything inside, right? The announcers, we've heard this before. Fighters have said, look, I heard Cormier say, do this, do that. So that's how I adjusted in the middle of the fight, right? So you're telling me that the referee never deducted a point when Sakai clearly, that saved him from getting thrown to the ground, right? That was going to be a takedown, Ivanov was going to be in control of the fight. You're telling me the referee never heard Cormier, the broadcast crew, or anybody make any comment on the fence grab? You're joking.
Was he warned, though? You got to warn. Usually they give him a warning or two because they don't want to do that.
Yeah, but that one was so egregious. I thought he was going to pull the octagon down.
Yeah, you can't grab the cage like that. I think the judge who gave it to Ivanov 30-27 might have deducted the point on his own.
Yeah, probably
he
did.
He might have scored because I don't know how he could score that 30-27. That's the fifth UFC event since all this started. The first was in Brazil, the next three in Jacksonville, and then this one in Vegas. And like you said, the underdogs won the main event in all five.
Yeah, it's, I like the changes they made. I mean, that was what they came out cleaning the mat between every fight. They got rid of the interviews inside the octagon.
Right.
I don't know what took so long with that. Everyone's got a mask on for the most part. So they made a bunch of changes, which now moving to Vegas. I thought that was a good move by Dana White and the UFC as well. Some of the big tickets that cashed, and we'll run through these rapid fire later as well. But Gutierrez to win in the second round was 12-1. Hill to win in the first round was 13-1. Royval to win by in the second round was 10-1. Kenny to win by submission and to win in the first round, both 8-1. Burns, by the way, a William Hill by decision was plus 450 in the main event. And I mentioned those big bets. And the Roberts kid. Roberts what was open 310. He closed 380 in some spots. And he won as well. Now, what's going to happen here, guys? We desperately need this fight to happen. The UFC needs it. The fans want to see it. How about John Jones now? Kind of pulling a Major League Baseball with the back and forth haggling over money here. Where he, according to reports, he asked for, that's what Dana White said. He asked for Wilder money to take on Ngannou. And then they're going back and forth on Twitter. And John Jones actually said, hey, don't lie about what I asked for. Don't tarnish my name. Which, okay, stop. You're lucky you have a job. You could be in jail. Your rap sheet's longer than Al Capone. What are you talking about? And Dana fired back. He's ruined his name enough with all the trouble he's been to outside of the octagon. So I don't know if this is going to happen now. I mean, this is if they can work out the money here. But Dana White was having none of it after what John Jones asked for to make this Jones and Ngannou fight happen.
I think it's going to happen. Dana's had fights in the media like this with fighters before, verbal fights with guys like this. And if the fight's a big enough payday for the UFC, it's going to happen. And this is going to be a monster.
Oh,
John Jones at heavyweight against Ngannou. I mean, there's no way Dana White can't make this happen. He's just got to negotiate John Jones' price down a little bit, and then they will make it happen.
You know, because what you said, Paul, you're exactly right. The guy's lucky he's not in jail.
Right.
Like Dana in the UFC could step in and say, look, I know that law enforcement has never done anything to John Jones, really, but we can say, dude, you're suspended for like 2 years. They don't do that because they know what the guy means. He actually, White this weekend, did he not call? He said that he could have been LeBron James of the UFC, which is accurate, right?
Yeah, sure. And he's still probably, I mean, he and Conor McGregor, he's up there close to McGregor in terms of the biggest draws in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So Dana's not going to force him out of the UFC.
Right.
Of course not. I think we talked about this with David Stern and Michael Jordan. David Stern did not tell Michael Jordan, hey, step away from basketball because I don't want to suspend you for gambling. You're never going to kick the best athlete in your sport out. You're not going to kick him out if you're the commissioner.
Yeah,
He's a meal ticket for you, and John Jones is still going to be a huge draw when he fights Ngannou, and that fight will happen. It'll happen.
Did you guys talk about that at all in Phoenix?
Lou likes John Jones in that fight, and I argued with him a little bit. I said, like Paulie said, I said, away from the game, his life is a mess. And I don't think he's going to be the same fighter inside the cage that he was, you know, previously because of all the problems he's had away from the UFC. I just don't think we're going to see the same John Jones. And, you know, Lou's argument is that he's such a supremely skilled fighter and Ngannou's just a brute knockout artist.
Those haymakers.
Yeah, right. But I think if you look at Jones' recent fights, they haven't been that impressive. So
wouldn't that be a fight where
that's going to be a great fight. It'd be a huge betting fight.
Oh, sure. Don't you think the public would be all over Ngannou just because of his style?
Well, that would scare you a little bit from betting that side. But, yeah, I mean, sure. Ngannou's knocked out, what, five guys in a row in a combined 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think the public, I don't think they like John Jones at this point.
Right.
And they're like, they're tired of him and they're going to want to see. Like, they bet with their heads, right, not with their hearts. And they're going to say, I want to see John Jones lose, so I'm going to bet against him. I think you're going to have that crowd coupled with the crowd that says Ngannou's like Mike Tyson now. Nobody can go more than 30 seconds with the guy. But it was good to have another UFC card.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. And when Tyson lost it, he lost it quickly.
Yeah. I saw a number on, did you guys see this? Did you talk about it on Friday when I was out? Mike Tyson against Tyson Fury?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a number on that fight.
What was the number you saw?
Fury was minus 5,000.
Oh, okay.
Well, they tried. Yeah, they tried. He listened. I mean, he picked up the phone. They talked about it, but that didn't go many.
Tyson 16-1. Come on.
Mike.
He's 53.
53 years old.
Jesus, Grandpa's in there.
Yes.
Hey, I would have loved to see Mike Tyson in his prime against Tyson Fury in his prime, because one guy is so big and the other guy was so powerful, Tyson. That we talked to Chuck Esposito at Sunset Station about this over the summer. I said, what would you make the line? He said he would make Tyson in his prime minus 130 against Tyson Fury. That would have been a great fight to see, but not when Mike Tyson's 53 years old.
And by the way, I'm telling you, I mean, if we go full-blown circus mode here and we get that fight, the public will bet Tyson.
Oh, of course.
They will. They'll look 16-1, 53. I've seen the videos. Look at him.
He always do.
He's back. Yeah, you're right.
They bet Dusseldorf Saturday against Bayern Munich from like 38-1 down to 16-1. 5-0 Bayern Munich.
Yeah, there you go. In your face.
5-0. That's right. That's Mike. Give him hell, Mike.
Give me that 16-1.
He's got the great
beard.
Look
how fast he is, yeah.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Wow. All right, so follow the money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. So much to get into yet today. We have Win Some, Lose Some coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. We have to talk about the NBA's latest plan, Major League Baseball's plan, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, how that could actually affect 2021 beyond 2020. All that coming up here. Follow the money on VSiN. We'll get into the NBA's latest plan involving either 20 or 22 teams, and I think they're going to know more about it coming up on Thursday. Didn't we hear that last week? Hey, Thursday's the big day. We're going to know more. Oh, hold on a second here. No, we don't.
What are they doing? You have to have a call with all the owners on a Friday? What plan do you want to go with, guys? Okay. All right, we'll see you again in 6 days, and we'll decide what we're going to do. What the hell are they doing?
Yep. It's like
ridiculous.
When you work somewhere and people love to have meetings to have another meeting. Right?
That's the worst.
You know those people.
Oh, yeah. Call a staff meeting every week for no reason whatsoever.
The worst.
Yeah. I would hope the NBA is, like I said last week with Paul, I think the NBA looks like a Mickey Mouse organization right now. And you would think that what they're using this time to do is figure out all the details, like how much are the players going to get paid. Because the NHL did not announce all that stuff when the NHL announced its playoff plan. So I would hope that the NBA is using all this time to iron out all the details so there's no questions left unanswered when they announce the proposal, hopefully this week. If not, it is a Mickey Mouse operation.
Sure. So, Paul, you talked to somebody who knows the NHL like the back of his hand. What did he tell you this weekend?
We had Dennis Bernstein on Friday, and 10 minutes wasn't going to do it justice. I had so many questions for him about what's going to happen here. Number one, they're going to do testing every day, and they expect to have the results the following day. So they're putting millions of dollars into testing. That's a nice job by the NHL. The other thing I wanted to dig into more about the hub cities, as we see what's going on in the United States. Who knows? The rate we're going, they might have to have both the hub cities in Canada. But I asked, where were they going to play this? And he thinks Edmonton, Columbus, and Pittsburgh would be his guess, two of the three for the hub cities. And then, as he said with us Friday, the league loves T-Mobile. They love Las Vegas, and they think T-Mobile has the best ice. He thinks Las Vegas will have the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals after they get it down to four teams. He thinks definitely that the Stanley Cup finals will be at T-Mobile. Also, I was curious about the schedule, about how this is going to work. Could we see at 1 o'clock Pacific on a Tuesday, will the Rangers play Carolina with a playoff game? He says, yeah, it'll probably just be like the Olympics. Think the Olympics. And with two hub cities, I don't see why you can't play six games a day and go 1 Pacific, 4:30, 7, whatever, 4, 7, whatever it would be, and just, you know, treat it like the Olympics, where one game's over, come out, do the ice warm up, into the next game, whatever it may be. But I'm more interested about how the schedule is going to work and how many games they're going to play every day once we get into the qualifying round, and then we get into the round one when this is all, because you got the round robin games going on too.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that list of cities for the hub cities, I think we can now probably take a black magic marker and draw a line through some of these, or am I exaggerating here? Like Minneapolis is done, right?
I was saying that last week. I thought the first one you cross off the list when we talked about it was Minneapolis. I think Chicago is not far behind. I would knock Chicago off the list as well. I can't really see it happening in L.A. I know some people like to set up in Los Angeles, but I talked to Brian Blessing about this yesterday, and Blessing's a big-time hockey guy who's well-connected. He thinks Edmonton and Las Vegas are the front runners, and Columbus has a shot as well.
Mm, yeah. Somebody reached out to me last night who lives in Toronto and said pretty much the same thing. He said, what I'm hearing is it's going to be two Western cities.
Okay.
So that would tell me Edmonton and Las Vegas would be the two front runners then probably. If Paul, what you're saying is accurate, which I totally believe it, right? If they love Las Vegas, then make it a hub city.
No, well, he says for the finals, as they want that. Yeah, not for early on. They're probably better off using another city for the qualifying round and the first round as well. I also, Friday... This is on Friday, before all hell broke loose in L.A. He gave L.A. a 10% chance, and that was before the riots, the protesting and issues in L.A. He gave it a 10% chance. So L.A. was a bad idea to begin with. I don't think L.A. is going to happen. So, again, he's in the know. He says Columbus, Pittsburgh, Edmonton, two of the three there.
Did you get paid out with all your bets?
Nope. Not good. The absolute fiasco. You?
I did.
Wow.
So that was
all
good.
Graded, how'd they grade it? All winners?
I had a lot of winners. And then some of the other ones were refunds.
Same, yep. So. Charlie M. strikes again. It's unbelievable.
Let's follow the money.
Incredible.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we will talk about the NBA's plan. Are we going to get 20 teams? Are we going to get 22? Do they have any idea what they're doing? That's coming up next here on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Part of the show is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. What does Dad really want for Father's Day? Steak, of course, and for a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha steaks, plus other premium meats, side dishes, and desserts, all ideal for Dad's special day. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to his door, all backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, put in the code VSIN into the search bar. Many packages include free shipping and a free 1-pound package of their cured, thick, applewood smoked steak-cut bacon. Visit omahasteaks.com and enter the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. All right, fellas. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with Matt Eumanns here today on Follow the Money. The latest plan for the NBA? Well, according to ESPN.com, Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski, it could either, Paulie, and I know you love this, right? It could either involve 20 or 22 teams going forward, and they just have to squeeze in more regular season games, don't they?
Well, to me, it just seems like a concerted effort to get Zion Williamson involved in this somehow, some way. Brian Windhorst said it Friday. He's right. I mean, it made Matt laugh, but it's true. They're making it up as they go. The good news is they've eliminated this, all 30 teams coming back. But as Ramona tweeted, the 22-team plan would include teams that are currently within 6 games of the final playoff spot in each conference. That would be New Orleans, Phoenix, Portland, Sac, San Antonio, and the Wizards, as the only teams within 6 games of the 8 seed in the Eastern and Western Conference. A proposal for 20 teams remains alive, and that format would include New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, and Sacramento. Discussions have centered on these formats, including several regular season games. I guess it'd be set. They play 7 or 8 games and then have a play-in tournament to decide the playoff participants. I want to see more when Silver announces this on Thursday. But I can tell you this. The Washington Wizards don't deserve an invite to the grand opening of Circa in December, the new casino, let alone an invite to the play-in for the playoffs of the NBA. They're 16 games under 500. What are we doing here? Where's the common sense? They're 16 games under 500. Come on, guys. I mean, this is ridiculous. They played 60, 70 games. They're horrible. Nobody gets an invite to a... Can you imagine if you're the Dallas Mavericks, when you're sitting there, you're the 7th seed, and you have far and away a better record than these teams that could be get the invite in a one-game scenario? They could shock the world and beat you? Or if they're involved in this, where you got god-awful Phoenix, who was invited, and they get hot for a quarter, and you have to go home? I mean, this is lunacy what they're doing here.
Paul, how many games under 500 are they? 16?
16.
Okay.
16.
They've won 24 games, guys.
Come on.
They have 24 wins on the season, and they want to open up the party to that team.
No, it's a waste of time. But it's a money grab. They're trying to make back as much money as they can on TV contracts. Like you said, get guys like Zion Williamson involved. I get so sick of hearing, the health and safety of the players is our first and foremost priority. BS. The first and foremost priority is trying to make back as much money as possible. And this is a made-for-TV event. So there's no reason in my mind to have any more than 16 teams involved. Go straight to the playoffs and get this thing over in a month if you're concerned about the health and safety of everybody involved. Get it done as quickly as possible. Don't invite a bunch of teams that don't deserve to be there and waste a bunch of time on games that don't matter. But we're 10 weeks into this, and the NBA is just messing around with all these crazy scenarios. It's ridiculous. Uh-huh.
And I hope the Mavs don't have to play in this play-in tournament as well. They are 10 games up on Portland in the loss column. Yeah. Portland's tied for the 9 seed. Dallas is the 7. They're 10 games up on them. Oh, that'd be ridiculous if we can't watch Luka play in the playoffs, if they'd have a bad game and they would be sent home, but however they're going to do this. I don't know. Right. It's a Mickey Mouse.
The Mavericks have won 60% of their games. They are 7 games up on the 8 seed. Think about that.
Yeah.
So that team is 7 games up on the 8 seed, and the Wizards are 16 games below 500.
Yeah. How is that
fair at all? So you want to just be like throwing participation trophies out there to every team in the league, right? Well, the Mavericks, Mark Cuban should be absolutely livid with this whole idea.
God, oh my, who are we kidding here? Like Washington, 5.5 back, like they were going to catch the Magic anyways, sitting there at 24-40. Who are they kidding with this, that the Wizards deserve an invite? Give me a break. Yep. God, this is hilarious. Well, the Wizards suck. Yep. They're terrible.
The more I think about it, too, guys, they can't do that reseeding this year. There's no way. You have to do that before a season starts. You have to put that in your rules, right?
That's what I think. I think it's ridiculous. By the way, I just checked the standings, and the Wizards are 16 games under 500, Mitch.
Wow.
That's
a big number.
16 games.
Big number.
It is total nonsense.
But I said it twice. Buddy Key, I said it twice. What?
We're 10 weeks into this lockdown, layoff, whatever you want to call it, And the NBA still has all these scenarios out there inviting teams that don't deserve to be in the playoffs. It just it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I said this last week, guys. Uh-huh. So, like, the NHL, they kind of put this blueprint out there for everybody to see it, right? There's nothing wrong with maybe stealing, like, one or two ideas from that league and saying, hey, that actually makes sense. Well, maybe we should do
something
like that.
The NHL had some competitive races in the standings and actually some teams. The NBA is basically inviting dead fish to the party. I mean, some of these teams have no chance whatsoever. These are teams that don't belong in the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even belong in the discussion
whatsoever. Yep. We do have actually, this was, I think, one offshore book put up some series prices in the NBA based on where the standings are at right now in the East and the West. Raptors, the 2 seed, would be a $9 favorite over the Nets. Well, forget about it with the Bucks and Magic. I mean, Bucks are laying 5,000. But the Nets plus 640. Anything there with Brooklyn?
You know, we were talking about 70, you know, on Friday's show with Paul. If you throw all the teams into one hat and put them in a 16-team bracket, the Bucks are the number one overall seed. They would have to go theoretically through the Celtics and the Clippers just to win their half of the bracket to get to face the Lakers in the NBA Finals.
Oh, it'd be a total ripoff.
Yeah, that would be mm-hmm. very unfair to the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is for these teams that are sent home, and that's it, they're going to have, 8-9 months off, assuming the next season starts on Christmas.
Yeah.
These guys are going to have 8-9 months off.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's a great point. Yep. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul will run down everything that took place from the weekend. We like to call it win some, lose some here on the Sports Betting Network. Right now is the time to become a VSiN Plus subscriber. It is free, and you won't have to decide what you want to do, pay or cancel, until at least one of the major sports returns. And all you have to do is go to vsin.com/subscribe to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Here we go. It's time now for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, the gift that keeps on giving. Frankfurt over, 11 straight overs, 12 of 13. The bad news is they only have 5 games left in Bundesliga. Gutierrez to win by knockout or TKO, 6-1, and 12-1 to win in round 2. That was at points bet. Rodriguez by decision, 5-1. Hill by KO or TKO plus 550 at points bet to win in the first round, 13-1. Royval, 5-1 to win by submission, 10-1 to win in the second round. A lot of big tickets cashed at the UFC. Burns by decision at William Hill plus 450. Win some continues. Kenny to win by submission and to win in the first round, both 8-1, all with the UFC. Lose some. Schalke, again, they get beat, winless in their last 11. 0-10-1 run. As they got beat over the weekend. Dusseldorf 36-1 down to 18-1. Lost 5-0 to Bayern Munich. Everyone putting $10-$20 on that, taking a shot on the lottery ticket that never had a chance. At Circa and William Hill, Woodley opened 145, closed 180. Destroyed by Burns in the main event. Sevchenko, Chikanian under, plus 420 down to 315 at Circa. And that should have ended. That should have been a winner. But she couldn't finish the job in the first round, and she won by decision. Rodriguez Green under plus 160 down to 130. No good. Carlisle and under plus 120 to 105. And then the under 145 down to 190. Morales Gutierrez over minus 320 ended early. Kenny Smolka over minus 280. That also ended early. Bad for the books. The get out game. We'll talk to Nick Bogdanovich coming up. Well, it's the only thing on, and it's the get out game with Bundesliga. It can't be good. Bayern Munich and over. They were laying three goals. We're talking about that Friday. But Mitch, that was Dusseldorf was 36-1. They were laying three goals. They won 5-0. It's the top team in the Bundesliga against one of the worst, and they were laying three goals and covered and got the total themselves. Werder Bremen plus 290 down to 175. They won. They play Frankfurt on Wednesday. Something's got to give. The Bremen, they've had two total combined goals in their last three matches, and they're going against Frankfurt on Wednesday. Interested to see what that total is. Berlin, a winner for Nigel, plus 108, went off a $1.30 favorite. They won 2-0. Gladbach yesterday, 175 up to 225 at stations. They had an easy time of it, as did Borussia Dortmund. Opened 280 at William Hill, closed as high as 330. That was a weird game. The total was 3.5. It was 0-0 in the 54th minute. 6-1 final. There was like four goals in 20 minutes. Crazy. 14,000 on Chicanian, plus 130 at William Hill. Ice cream. 13,000 on Hill at William Hill. He had an easy time of it as well. Gutierrez, 110 up to 125. Late money turned out to be correct. Robertson under, opened 310, closed 380 at some spots. And the under, plus, look at this. Plus 160 to minus $1.10 on the under.
Wow.
6-1 to win a round two at Circa. And Mackenzie Dern, $4 up to $5 at William Hill. And it's worth repeating. I've never seen this. $1.30 to win by submission at Circa and that cash. And a nice call by Jordan, who gave Jordan Sherwood $1.40 to win by submission. Win some. So you saw a lot of signs. You know, you saw Black Lives Matter. You saw I Can't Breathe, and you also saw Fire Bill O'Brien. They must hate that guy in Houston. Look at that. We Can't Breathe. I hope that's real. Fire Bill O'Brien. And it's a woman who's got the sign up there, too. They are sick and tired of that guy in Houston. That at a rally, they had the Fire Bill O'Brien signs.
You know,
they've had them.
I saw that photo. I laughed at that too. That looked to me like it was Photoshop.
That's what I kind of thought too. Yeah.
But let's pretend
it's real because it's hilarious. Yeah.
Yes, it is. This was good too. Hey, the EPL's coming back. Premier League can't wait. June 17th. How about get that right back? Yep. Look at that kick. Kicks it right back at the cops. Look at that. Incredible performance there. Get out of it. Not in my house. He Mutombo's it with his leg. Get that out of here. That's incredible. Lose some. Look at this. I think this was in Canada. Yeah, it was in Canada.
Oh.
Guy wakes up. He's got a moose in the middle of his pool. Guy's going out for a swim. Look at that guy. Imagine you wake up and that just hanging out. Look at that.
What would you do?
Why?
I mean, imagine the reaction.
Oh, remember we had the one video where the guy, they had to help to get the moose out.
Yes.
He was stuck. I think it was in like, I hope the guy got out of there okay. Big fella. And lose some. I told Matt I was going to do this Friday. I didn't, because there's your double whopper, Matt.
Lose some.
I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Get extra cheese on. But that doesn't, the picture doesn't do it justice. But that's a big boy right there. That's the double whopper. And I know the triple whopper leads the league in calories. Is it that was number one on the list that we did Friday. I will ask if they have that still available. The double whopper's on the menu. They could, right up there on the menu, like at a combo meal. That thing would choke two elephants, the double whopper.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the triple whopper. I knew they had the double, but did you said you did or didn't ask if they had the triple burger BK?
We'll do that this week.
Okay.
Because I don't know if maybe they have it, but it's not on the menu. Like, you can get a double fillet of fish at McDonald's. They just don't have it on the menu. But you can say, can I get a double fillet of fish? It's like the animal. What is it? Mitch, you order In-N-Out, you get the animal style, whatever?
Sure. Well, In-N-Out, you can go as high as 10.
Well, that too, right?
You know, they call patties. It the double-double. I get the 3x3 every single time I go to In-N-Out. It's
you
automatic.
You 10?
You can order up to 10. They have a huge secret menu, and one of them is you can order as many as 10. It's like this big. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
It's huge.
I thought you could go up to like maybe 4 or 5. I didn't know you could go to 10.
They'll do 10. The most I've ever done is 3. And every time I do the 3x3 or the triple-triple, I guess, I tell myself I want to go to the quad. Because I can do the quad.
Right.
I know I can do the quad at least once. Paul, how'd you feel after the double whopper?
Felt great.
Did you?
Ready to go 10 rounds with Tyson.
Good.
Felt good.
Yeah.
Felt good. It was dynamite. I screwed it up though. I didn't get the cheese.
There's a triple.
I dropped the ball on that. Oh my God. Wow, that's something. I mean, that blows away the Big Mac.
Look how big that thing is.
Wow, the Whopper's great, man. I told you, Mitch, my saying was a Whopper a day keeps the doctor away. I used to eat a Whopper every day.
Every day?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, I remember when, and I've told this story before, when I was in high school, they used to have Whopper Wednesdays. Matt, you're right?
When you're in college, they had like you said, that one day a week where the Whoppers were like, what?
99 cents.
Yeah, a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we would all drive to Burger King for lunch during high school, and we'd all get 3. And back then, I could not eat 3 Whoppers today. There's no way. But back then, yeah, we'd all whack down 3 Whoppers and then, okay, go back to school.
Whoa.
There you go. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh,
3
yeah.
of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
In college, I had a Burger King like 2 blocks from my house. I ate there every day. Every day. A Whopper every day.
I would tell you that I think the best thing at Burger King, the best thing to me is the chicken sandwich at Burger King.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I had a couple winsomes too. Kelly, can we throw the photos up? So I hit 2 of my top 10 fast food joints, Paul, when I was in Phoenix. First stop when I left the airport was Portillo's Hot Dogs, where I got 2 Chicago Dogs, a Chicago Dogs combo meal, and ate that on the way to the golf course. And then the next morning I woke up and went to Whataburger. Uh-huh. And so I hit the Daily Double in Phoenix with Portillo's and Whataburger, 2 of my top 10 fast food joints. And I tried to hit Culver's too, Mitch, but this was a lose some. I was driving down I-10, and the exit to get to Culver's was blocked off due to construction.
Oh, boy.
So I could have hit all 3, but Culver's couldn't get there. And there's another winsome, Lou Finicaro, with his racks of ribs.
Jesus.
He had a smoker. He worked on these all day, and the ribs were phenomenal. We had those while we were watching the fights, the UFC fights, Saturday night.
Now, Lou was making...
Never been a rib guy. Too messy. Too messy. Never been a rib guy.
If they're done right, they are sensational.
Yeah, okay.
These ribs actually were not very messy at all, and they were phenomenal ribs.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was better, Portillo's or Whataburger?
Portillo's.
Was it?
Held up to the rank. I mean, it's number 2 in my in my rankings, and Whataburger was like number 8.
You know,
so, yeah. Rankings held up.
I found out there's one right outside of Minneapolis, so when we were driving back to Vegas from Wisconsin, that was going to be my plan. And then all hell broke loose.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, we're going to avoid
Minneapolis. Probably didn't want to stop in Minneapolis.
No, we did not. Yeah. By the way, so Lou is... Go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead. Yeah. Now, what's on the menu, Matt? Does Portillo's, is it dogs, burgers, gyros? Or is it just, what is it? Italian sausage, yes. Italian beef?
The Italian beef sandwiches, Italian sausage. I mean, basically, Paul, it's the... I would say the most expansive menu you will see at any fast food place. It's incredible. But I generally stick with my favorites, which are the Chicago dogs or the Italian beef sandwiches with sport peppers and Italian sausage.
That dog looks awesome.
The fries are good, too. Like I said, I'm not a big fry guy, but Portillo's has really good fries. And the Coke, Paul. I got a Coke. I only drink a couple Cokes a month. But the Coke at Portillo's is right up there with McDonald's and Steak and Shake. And what else did you rank as the best fountain Coke?
Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's got good, yep.
Very good. Very good. It looks like a great spot.
It does. Did you have to drive out of your way to go there? Was it close to where you guys
were? I wasn't too... actually, Portillo's like 5 miles from the airport, so not too bad.
Okay.
No, it's not too bad. Mitch, I would have driven 50 miles if I had to.
Good for you. National treasure. Good for you. Excellent scouting.
Uh-huh. All right, so follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with Matt Eumanns, up next. It's going to be a lot of fun. David Purdom's going to join the program, ESPN Chalk. The story that he had that dropped last week on betting Russian table tennis was pretty remarkable. The amount of digging he had to do on this, absurd. So we'll ask him, is the sport on the up and up? That's coming up next.